Well, as Pastor Nicoletti said, my name is Janet Jack, but the last time I stood in this sanctuary to give my testimony, I had a different name. It was Janet Lazenby, and I was a high school student. At that time, once a year in the evening service, the students and the leaders would explain what a typical youth group meeting looked like. The congregation would sing some of the songs that we sang during our meetings, and a number of us rotated through giving our testimonies. It's been a few years since then. When I was a child, we attended a Pentecostal church down on what was then K Street. But Eunice DeSoto told a neighbor of ours about a church who had just been built called Faith Presbyterian Church. My mom heard of this, and my parents decided that we would attend to see if this was a better fit for our family. So we started attending in 1961, and they took me down to Sunday school. And at that time, my teacher was Leona Johns, whom some of you will know. I vividly recall where I was sitting in one of those rooms downstairs and which direction I was even facing. I was scared. I experienced that lump that grows in your throat when you're trying to suppress crying. I failed. That was my first memory in this building. Eunice didn't know my family at the time, but God used her to bring my family to this church. When I became an adult, she actually became such a dear friend to me. In first grade, Dolores Payne, a sister-in-law of Bonnie Payne, was my teacher. And I recall her telling us one Sunday, if you believe in Jesus as your Savior, that he died on the cross for you, and you haven't yet, you should ask him to come into your heart. Well, I've always trusted in God, but I never recalled actually saying a prayer. So I in my head, followed her example and said that prayer. A short time later, she offered that again, but she added, but you must be sincere or it doesn't count. Well, my young little mind thought, well, I think I was sincere, but just in case, I said the prayer again. She then told us if we had said the prayer, we should find a stake and stick it in the ground with a date on it so we could always recall that day. So I'm a rule keeper. So when I got home, I went to the back of our yard where there were raspberry bushes, found a stick and stuck it in the ground. I didn't tell my parents that I had said this prayer because I didn't feel any different. I'd always trusted in the Lord, so I didn't think, oh, now I'm a Christian. However, this recollection does remind me that I have always been his child. And maybe it's why raspberries are one of my favorite foods. In grade school, I remember witnessing to a friend of mine on three different occasions, took me three times, because the first two times I thought, you know, I just haven't said all that I should. She went to church, but I didn't know how faithfully. I didn't know if she truly believed in God as her Savior. The third time, again, I can tell you exactly where we were on the playground. We were each sitting on one of those round, reddish-brown rubber balls, square balls, and we were kind of making designs in the dirt. Then that wasn't paved, it was dirt. And I shared that I believed in Jesus as my Savior, that he was God's Son. He came to earth and lived for us and explained the gospel, the scripture, what it meant, and then died so that we could have eternal life. She said that she believed the same also. It was the Holy Spirit who, at that young age, put that desire in me, and knowing those first two times I just hadn't said all I should, and he gave me the peace to trust him. When I was in college, This church went through some challenges, culminating in a vote deciding if the congregation should stay in the denomination or become an independent church. And I was thankful that the vote was to stay in the denomination, but I found the experience very disconcerting. However, God is loving and merciful, and over time there was healing. Pastor Rayburn and Florence arrived about a year later, and it was about 3 months after their arrival, on July 19th, 1978, my dad died suddenly at the age of 48 from a heart attack, as his father had at the age of 56. My dad was one of my greatest blessings from God. I was 22 years old, and it was the only time I found myself struggling to trust God's plan. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I was mad at God. My dad was a believer, so I knew he was free from his sins and the sinful world, but selfishly, I wanted him here. Over the next few weeks, I continued to struggle with my grief and anger, but the Lord was right there with me, patiently helping me to trust him and give me peace with my dad's death. Dad's been in heaven now for 45 years, and I still miss him. In this world, my own sin is what brings me the greatest sadness. The second greatest sadness is that my children, and now my grandchildren, do not get to experience the delight of having their grandpa or great-grandpa Lazenby in their life. What joy it will be when we all meet in heaven. A year before my dad's death, I started dating a young man that my dad always referred to as the guy with the two first names. He'd ask me, is that guy with the two first names coming over? Or, this is one, has that guy with the two first names said he loved you yet? When I responded, no, he said, his response was, he's a little slow, isn't he? In 1979, I married that man. My dad was not there to walk me down the aisle, but he was and will be forever in my heart. 10 years later, with the pregnancy of our daughter, Rachel, it had serious complications beginning at 11 weeks. It happened in this church. I felt the weight of the situation for those few days due to the unknowns. There were concerns about the viability of the pregnancy. Could she survive after birth? Would she need surgery right after her birth because of this dark mass on her near her abdomen? Steve, my husband, was on at a business dinner in Seattle when I received the phone call from the doctor with this news. It was the one time I cried during this pregnancy. At 33 weeks, additional issues occurred. So it was decided at 34 weeks, they would induce labor. When the contractions came, her heartbeat was dropping, so she was delivered by cesarean section, weighing 4 pounds, 1 ounce, half the birth weight of my three previous children. I was discharged when she was 5 days old and had to drive away, leaving her in the hospital. I could do so without distress, knowing her Creator was right there with her. For her to be discharged, she had to keep her birth weight up for 24 hours, which was accomplished in 7 days. She could suck for a minute or two, but then she got tired. I remember having to pull her mouth open, squirt some milk in, close her mouth, and the nurse showed me how to push under here so she'd swallow. She had a plugged tear duct, but other than that, she was healthy. The previous years of God deepening my faith gave me the faith to fully trust him throughout that pregnancy, knowing he would provide what I needed no matter what the outcome was. We sing Whate'er My God Ordains Is Right, and it's one of my favorite hymns because it reminds me of this pregnancy as well as some other challenging experiences. I've had the privilege, and it is a privilege, to teach kindergarten for 41 years here. I now find myself teaching children of previous students. I don't feel old. I get to teach these young souls about God, and Lord willing, he uses those lessons to add to the foundation of their faith. It has been a great joy in my life. I've heard many prayers from these students for family members, friends, neighbors, and others who do not know the peace of trusting in God. And it's a delight to hear those sweet voices. God has also allowed me to teach and do some other jobs at Springfield Classical Christian School. There, too, I thoroughly enjoyed coming along parents and teaching their children about the Lord and other studies through a biblical worldview. Deep friendships ensued from the relationship I had with other women, other teachers there, as well as relationships with parents and students, some in this congregation and others in other churches. It was a great blessing to have a job where I could talk about God all day long. I shared some additional responsibilities besides teaching while working there, and those responsibilities stretched me, and I found myself on my knees constantly before the Lord. He deepened my awareness that, don't worry, I'm doing the work, not you. It was God doing that work. I felt like the man Gideon. He was an ordinary man who had no special training to lead these 300 men who successfully stopped the raiding of the Midianites using their weapons of a jug of water, a torch, and trumpets. No spears, no swords, no catapults. It was clear to Gideon and those men, God won that victory. So it was with me, God giving me guidance and wisdom to complete the task that he put before me. Those challenging work experiences have helped me to trust God deeply and be more willing to step out of my comfort zone and do whatever is asked of me, because I know he will be guiding me step by step, with the results being for his glory and for my good. Thus, here I stand doing this very scary thing of public speaking. God has also been patient in helping me develop a real love and a consistent Bible reading. The Reverend James Hansen was the minister when our family came, and he returned in 1977 for a brief time when the church was going through those challenges. Upon retirement, he returned to this area to be near family, and I used to take my children to go visit him. And on one of those visits, I recall him sharing how glad he was that now that he was retired, he would have time to study in depth some of the passages that he felt he wanted to understand more fully. This was a man whose life job was to study the Bible. I left pondering that in awe of what he said and found myself wanting to emulate that desire to never get weary or lazy about reading God's word and to truly love this great gift in printed form, the Bible. I still sin and struggle and can get discouraged with my failures and shortcomings, but I know God loves me and his grace is sufficient. Despite my failures, I can look back through these examples and many more and see how God has changed me and helped me to overcome some of my weaknesses and temptations. And he's also helped me to rest in his grace. He has been patient, faithful, full of grace and mercy, loved unconditionally, provided unending forgiveness, and additional blessings upon blessings. I have grown through the faithful preaching from God's Word, through Dr. Rayburn, Pastor Nicoletti, and Pastor Gutierrez, as well as relationships with members of this congregation, gleaning their wisdom as a result, and being blessed, and as a result, being blessed with great friendships. The guy with the two first names, along with the rest of my family, are the greatest blessings from the Lord, including my 12 grandchildren. I have not, however, would have been able to earn my salvation. It is a gift for which I am so thankful. God holds me in the palm of his hand. The book of John, chapter 10, verse 28 says, I give them eternal life, that they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. This Easter morning, we are recalling the life and death and resurrection, and celebrating that great love extended to us. Jesus has promised to come again, and we are looking and longing for that great day.